Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to see you all out this morning. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We have a pretty good group for a Sunday morning. Hallelujah. In the middle of an apocalypse. Praise the Lord. Well, it's not an apocalypse. It's not over yet, but we know that there's a lot of things going on. I'm not making light of it, but you know, we do like to joke. Hey, I'll even tell a joke at a funeral. So praise the Lord. That's just the way I roll. Glory to God. If you're on live stream and you're if you're part of our church or not, welcome. Thank you for being with us today. We love you. We're so thankful for you. Praise the Lord. We're so thankful for all the people here and all that God is doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many know that in the time of opposition is not the time to be afraid? It's not a time to go running for the hills. Glory to God. It is always a time to use wisdom. As people of God, we should always use wisdom. Amen. We should be using wisdom more than the world uses wisdom. But, you know, it's not a time to be afraid. And, you know, we've been teaching a lot about, you know, faith and things like faith and things in faith and things that have to do with faith and all that stuff. And don't be surprised as to why we've been teaching that. We've been teaching that by direction of the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't know what was coming specifically. But you know, the Bible does say that the Holy Spirit will tell us things to come. That doesn't mean he'll tell us everything to come, but he just does lead us and guide us as we move forward into the plan of God. Amen. As we step out in faith, he moves us or he'll lead us and guide us. Praise the Lord. And he will tell us things to do. Sometimes we won't know why he's told us, but if we're obedient to do them, then we'll see that it comes to pass for a good reason later on. Amen. And so this is a time right now where we embrace some of the teachings that we have learned, and we're going to stand on them. Amen. We're going to stand as a church, as a people of God. We're not going to be moved by this. We're not going to be rattled by this. You know, if we just preach faith but never have a chance to use it, it's not very good faith. But if we get to use it, praise the Lord, every once in a while, it's good when we can use our faith. Amen. And so it pleases God, and that's what we're going to do today. And that's what we're going to do continuing on through all this opposition and whatever the future holds. Amen. You know, I mentioned this before. You know, people have asked me quite a few times what I plan on doing for this and that, what I plan on doing if the government changes this rule or that rule. And I'm just going to tell you what I plan on doing. I plan on doing the same thing I always try to do, and that's being following the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so if today we do things one way and tomorrow we do things differently because that's how the Lord seems to lead, then that's what I'm going to do. Praise the Lord. And I'm not going to worry about what might be, because you can't worry about what might be, because what might be isn't. All it is what is. Amen. Or what has been. But what has been doesn't matter because that's over, unless what has been is still affecting you. And that becomes what is. Amen. And so all we need to focus on is what is. We don't need to focus on the past. We don't need to focus on the future. We just need to focus on God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I love that. You know, the word always points us to Jesus. Back to God. You know, I've heard a lot of people saying a lot of things. You know, they accuse Christians of this or different churches, amen, or back and forth accusing. I'm just endeavoring not to be somebody who's going to be accusatory. I'm just going to be led for myself, praise the Lord. If I see something that's wrong and I think that my people are receiving it, I'm going to obviously address it, amen, from the pulpit. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to call everybody out and say everybody else is wrong. Praise the Lord. We just endeavor to follow the word. Amen. And I think that a lot of people are doing the same. Glory to God. Well, today's message is called Our Time to Shine. Praise the Lord. And of course, like I said, you know, we're a faith church. We preach faith and we teach faith and how to stand on faith. And now is the time where we get to use faith. Amen. That's exactly what we use it for. If we get taught these things, if we learn these lessons, or if we hear these things, Jesus said, take heed how you hear. If we spend all this time learning these lessons, then when the trial comes, we give up on them. It doesn't do us any good. You know, people try to use prayer for what prayer isn't for. They try to pray to band-aid their lack of using faith or their lack of being knowledgeable in the word. You can't do that. It doesn't work that way. And that's why a lot of people seemingly don't get their prayers answered. It isn't because God isn't answering them. It's because they don't actually do what has been preached in the pulpit. They don't actually learn that. But we're going to be people that stand on the word. We're going to be people that continue to. Now, listen. If you've had a freakout moment, if you've had many freakout moments, especially in the last few weeks, I'm not going to fault you for it. We all have had freakout moments. We all will have freakout moments. Don't get down on yourself for getting a little nervous or the Lord. But what we're going to do is we're going to take that and we're going to control it. We're going to point it in the right direction. Because one of the things that is supposed to be an earmark of the church is stability. Amen. If the church, if God's people are doing correctly, they will be stable people. Amen. And that's exactly what we're here to do. We're here to help people find stability. Amen. Praise the Lord. I find it real funny that churches are not listed on the list of essential businesses. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. But liquor stores are. Just telling you the truth. And that's right there in case you still want to go tip one. I'm just letting you know. That's free, no charge. But that just shows you where the world's at. Yeah. Now, there are certain exemptions and stuff like that. At this time, the state hasn't said that they were going to try to force the closures of churches. They just they just suggest against having service together. But as I followed the Lord, it seemed right and good that we do this. Amen. But I also leave it out to you, open to you, that if you don't feel comfortable, of course, then don't come. If you don't feel well, don't come and don't be under condemnation. Watch online. Amen. Praise the Lord. We even have provision. If you're watching online, you can click and you can even still, if you want to be faithful in your tithes and offerings, you can still do that. Amen. And I only say that, I'm not driving it home, but I'm only saying it because we have those options out there. So we can still be faithful to the things that God has called us to. Amen. Praise the Lord. But this is our time to shine. Let's turn to James 2:14. Praise God. Excited to be in church today. I hope you're stirred. I hope you're not, too afraid or anything. Praise the Lord. there's no reason to be afraid. God's people will do well if they stay in faith. But I'm just going to say this: God's people will not do well if they do not stay in faith. Praise the Lord. If you don't stay in faith, you won't do well. You can't pray yourself out of a lack of faith. Amen. You just can't. God's given us faith for a reason. It's time to use it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, it's just like a fire extinguisher. If you had a house, a fire extinguisher, we have fire extinguisher right back there by Bob. Praise the Lord. Everyone turn around and say, hi, Bob. Hi. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And when you turn around, look at him, I hope you saw the fire extinguisher. But if you didn't, it's back there anyways. Praise the Lord. I know Bob can be kind of distracting. Praise the Lord. glory to God. He's back there being loud all the time and stuff. But Bob's just bringing up the rear. He's always back there faithfully in his post, manning his post. We love Bob. Amen. But we have a fire extinguisher back there. But how many know that if there was a fire and nobody picked up the fire extinguisher, that fire extinguisher would be quite useless, wouldn't it? Like it wouldn't do anything to put out the fire. We could have a whole building burned down and have the ability to put it out and never do it. Well, faith is the same way. Faith being built in us is the preparation of having a fire extinguisher. Faith is not when the fire starts going out looking to see if you can buy a fire extinguisher. Praise the Lord. Faith is pre-buying toilet paper. Amen. It's not going out afterwards and trying to buy it. Now, we know that some people, Aaron, didn't go out and buy some ahead of time. No, I'm just kidding. You found some. The guy told me to go up to the main. Praise the Lord. She got it. Praise the Lord. We learned that Tuesday night. If you were here, you missed half your life. Praise. No, that's okay. Praise the Lord. Hey, I opened the door, sister. We have a little bit. Yeah, yeah. That's right. Hey, we guys got. Praise the Lord. No, that's good. It's good. But we want to be. Faith is to use ahead of time. That's what just makes church interesting, doesn't it? It makes it fun. Praise the Lord. No, I don't mean that in a bad way. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We love our sister Erin. Praise the Lord. Everyone turn around and say hi to Aaron. Hi. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, I'm just going to have fun at church today. Praise the Lord. Might as well. This is why I love Mayville. I mean, you just don't get this. This is like a hug in the middle of service, isn't it? And I just feel like I've just been hugged. Amen. With toilet paper. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, James 2:14, we find that yet? Yeah, we got to use our faith for what faith is meant to be used for. Amen. James 2:14, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? That is a very good question. Can faith save him? You can say all day long, I got faith, but if you don't have works to back your faith up, in other words, if your works or the things you do, if they don't prove your faith, if they don't show your faith, you don't have faith. And so that's exactly what's being said here is it by James? Praise the Lord! He's saying, you know, you can say you have faith, but if you don't have works that back up your faith, you're in trouble. It means that your faith is not going to be a saving kind of faith. Your faith isn't going to save you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We understand that all the principles of God, everything God does, starting from the most important with the reception of His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, all the way through to every other promise of God, they are all hinged on one thing, and that is our faith to trust God, our ability to trust God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You remember what the prophet Yoda said? Does anyone know about the prophet Yoda, the great prophet Yoda? He said, do or do not, there is no try. That's what faith is in a nutshell. Faith is do or do not. There is no try. You don't try faith. You can't try faith. You can start building faith, but you can't just try faith. You can say, well, I'm going to try it out for a little while, see if it works. That like in its very essence right there is completely the opposite of what faith is. Faith is not try it out and see if it works. Faith is building faith is learning to trust. Praise the Lord. Faith is trust. Faith is belief. Faith is what you believe. And so you can just say this in any area, whatever it is that you believe, that is what your faith is. That's what your faith rests on. That's what it hinges on. And that can tell you where you're at or not. Amen. Praise the Lord. Faith is not a last minute fix to things. Faith is a preparation of sorts. It's building something in you for something that's coming later. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, one of the things that we know about faith, and this is a wonderful thing about faith is a guarantee. Faith is assured that if we build faith in us, that is a guarantee that we have access to the things of God. Conversely, if we don't build faith in us, it is a guarantee that you pretty much won't have those things. It's a pretty much, now God in His mercy and His grace does what He can to bless His people as much as He can. But we have to understand that God is not just pulling all strings. He is not a puppet master. He is not making everybody do so. You know, I've heard this before. You know, somebody maybe was killed tragically in like a drunk driving accident, for example. And then I hear somebody of faith will say stuff. I've heard this before. They'll say, well, just God, it was God's time to bring him home. Wait a minute. So God made that person drink and then get in the vehicle, then drive the car that killed them? No, not absolutely not. That isn't God's will. God didn't sit up there and say, okay, I'm going to plan their death around this guy doing something that I told him not to do. That is the utmost in foolishness to believe that way. And yet so many Christians believe that God has this control that he's... Now listen, God have control. I'm not saying that there's no sovereignty in God. I'm not saying that, but he has ordered things a certain way and they operate the way he's ordered them. He doesn't come in then and start manipulating and changing them all around just because he wants to prove a point. Glory to God. But what he does is he has created the earth to operate a certain way and by certain principles. And when humans operate in line with those, things work out good. But when they fight against it, then it causes chaos. It causes problems. We live in a time, a day and an age where there has been lots of years of chaos creating lots of things. But see, that still isn't a reason to sit there and blame it on God. Because God is not doing this. God is not sending hurricanes to wipe people out. God is not sending, pestilences to wipe humans out and stuff like that. You know, we see that in the end times, in the book of Revelation, that there will be certain judgments that will be poured out. And in those times, it will look like that. But that is not the times that we live in. And God is certainly not trying to stop or hinder His people. You know, I can't say this enough. And yet I still, every once in a while, will be in a conversation with somebody in the congregation, praise the Lord, and I will hear something that comes out of their mouth, and I'm like, do you listen to what I preach? I mean, they'll say things like crazy things. I've had some in recent times where people have said things like, God isn't doing this. God isn't doing that. God hasn't determined that this is the way things are going to be. But see, God did tell us that there would be things, trials that would come against us. Praise the Lord. Why? Because He knew what the devil was planning. In fact, every time it points to in the Bible, trouble coming against God's people. Do you know, if you'll notice this, if you read your Bible, praise the Lord, we read our Bible. But you'll notice if you read your Bible, whenever you read about the trouble coming against God's people, it is either because they did something dumb and they caused it to come on them, or the devil was attacking them. But it was never because God was saying, hey, you're doing pretty good. I'm just going to stop you. I'm just going to test your faith. I'm going to throw something in there. Not at all. You know, some people point to Job, but first of all, Job had no covenant with God. Second of all, it wasn't God that did it. He told the devil, because the devil was testing him outside of covenant. There's a huge difference between covenant and lack of covenant. We have a covenant with God. Aren't you glad? I said, we have a covenant with God. Aren't you glad? Amen. Praise the Lord. My wife and I have a covenant. You know what that covenant says? That nobody else has right to this body or that body, but this body and that body. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's called covenant. Praise the Lord. Nobody else has right to it, right? Praise the Lord. So anybody else who tried to, they would be tested. How's that? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So going forward, we just have to understand the process of the way things work. And once we do that, it's not a difficult thing. Faith isn't a difficult thing. It just means that we're going to trust God at what he said. But see, the key is we have to know what God says. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I've heard some people, even in the recent days, they've been filtering all kinds of things through the word. Now, listen, I preached a message in Corey last night. I would encourage you to go online and listen to it. Praise the Lord. But we can taint the things that we preach if we filter them through the wrong attitude, the wrong mindset, the wrong ideas, the wrong understanding of the word. We can do that. Even good people that we love. I've probably done it myself. Amen. We can all do it if we filter something wrong. But, you know, God has called us to do our best to be pure. But the word gives us the directions on how to do that. Praise the Lord. But we have to determine that we're going to walk in it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Faith does not become faith until the trial has come. Praise the Lord. I believe this with all my heart. Faith, you can say, you know, that I've heard in times past things like foxhole faith, you know, that, you know, people that or jailhouse faith, people will have faith when they're in a rough situation because they now they'll turn to faith because that's all they have. And really what that is a lucky rabbit's foot kind of faith. That's, oh, if I rub this lucky rabbit's foot enough, maybe good luck will come my way. That also is not faith, and that's not what God has determined. We build faith in us, and then when the trial comes, the trial is coming to try to steal your faith. That's what trial comes for. The trial has one purpose, and that's to steal the faith of God's people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, whatever it's producing, whether it's producing fear, whether it's producing opposition, whether it's producing sickness, the purpose of it is to steal faith from God's people. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's what the church. So right now, you know the plan of the enemy. When you see trials, when you see tribulation, when you see things coming against you, one thing you know is it's not God, it's the devil. And you see that he's trying to take faith out of you, trying to get it out of you so you don't continue to trust God. Because the devil knows, better than most Christians do, but the devil knows that if he can get people in their faith, if he can rob their faith, that he can rob them from what God has promised them. Praise the Lord. It is a lack of faith that keeps people from doing things. If you don't operate according to the word, if you don't operate according to the direction of the word, the only answer could be is because you don't have the faith in that word yet. Praise the Lord. Because if you did, then you'd just be plain dumb, and you're not plain dumb. Glory to God. So we have to understand that. Faith does not mean, does not become faith until the trial has come. And so, folks, we are faced today with trials, are we not? In this country, but it's not in just this country. You know, there's been a lot of people kind of putting out there that, you know, this is just, you know, the government's trying to hinder the churches. And the problem I have with this is this. Every nation on this earth is doing the same exact thing for the same reason, and it had nothing to do with the church whatsoever. I am not saying that Satan is not behind this epidemic or this pandemic trying to cause silence of the church. Sure he is. I'm not. Everything the devil does is to be in opposition of the church. Every bad thing happens because the devil is manipulating someone somewhere. His goal is to try to destroy the church. So we understand that. So I'm not negating that or saying completely that it's not true. But this specifically is not an attack at the church trying to silence us. Yeah. And what I'm saying is from our government or the governments of the world, there is something going on, and that something is big, that something is serious. And for the people of the world, they are scared, and they should be scared because they have no faith. But the people in the church should not be scared because we know the outcome. We know the end from the beginning, praise the Lord, or we should know it. And that's what faith is. Faith says, I can act different than them because I know something that they don't know. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Job is to be a shining light to the world, especially in these time periods. This, we have not just been given faith so we stand. We've been given faith so we can show other people the goodness of God, and then they can stand. But see, the problem is so often Christians want to get mouthy. They want to get opinionated. They want to get their ideas of what so-and-so should be doing and what so-and-so shouldn't be doing. And by doing so, what they are doing is they're bringing a reproach to the body. Because you know what the world is seeing today? The world is seeing one church fighting against another church. This pastor says this, and this pastor says this, and this pastor says this. Listen, it's all a bunch of garbage. It's a bunch of division, and it's never the plan of God. Right in that, right there, just the very fact that you can see that there's a divide in the church shows you that it's not God. Praise the Lord. I said it's not God. Praise God. We have to teach the truth. But we have to consider things. We have to consider our actions. In fact, you know, the Bible says that you don't build a tower without counting the cost. Well, I believe that that's more than just building towers. I believe that the Bible wasn't just talking about building some kind of tower or wall or some kind of protection. It means that everything you do, I love what Reverend Greer always says. He says, what you obtain, you must maintain, praise the Lord. You have to consider what we do. You have to consider what you do and the effects that come out of it. In fact, the reason that we are in this problem in the first place is because people have not been taught to consider other people. Praise the Lord. That's what it is. Why does it spread? Because somebody doesn't think it's a big deal. So they go out doing whatever they want to do and they end up spreading it to a bunch of people. These are very real things. You know what's funny is that people talk about, well, you know, this isn't Jesus, this isn't God, all this stuff to have social distancing. I'm just going to tell you the truth. If you go back to the law, which was written by God, by the way, he gave it to man, right? If you go back to the law and read in there about Leviticus, about what God told people to do with leprosy, he told them to stay away from each other for so many days. Then you come back and get checked, and when you're better. Now, we have the healer. There is a little bit of a difference. But God was just as much healer in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. Praise the Lord. But he did not say, God did not say, oh, you know what? You're out of faith if you're not rubbing up against somebody with leprosy or hugging them. No, in fact, we see that when they came to Jesus. But we see Jesus didn't always go to every single person and heal them. That's a whole nother message in of itself. But we have to have faith in truth. Amen. Not faith in our own ideas, not made up faith in some kind of false. You know, some people think they hear me preaching faith or they hear others preaching faith and they start getting it in their heads that it looks like something that it's completely not. Praise the Lord. Have to consider where we're at too. I've said this many times in the past few days, and I'll just tell you the truth. I believe it wholly that a lot of Christians don't have enough faith to see themselves through a cold, much less some kind of crazy disease. So if that's the case, you have to consider. Now, I am not advocating walking in fear. Not at all. But we don't, you know, the thing is we seek God and we endeavor to be in love with God's people and do the right thing. Do you know what comes with that? Peace. That is a sure sign that you're, you know, I read the scripture last night, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you know you're in the Spirit? Well, right thereafter, it tells us how you know if you're walking in the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit, that's Galatians 5, in case you didn't know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. If you're not in peace, if you're all in turmoil and upset, you're not walking in the Spirit. If you're not in love, if you're not walking in love, you're not walking in the Spirit. See, here's your sign. I mean, it's this easy. Like, you know, if you don't have joy, not in the Spirit, folks. This is just the simple truth. If you don't have patience, not in the Spirit. If you have outbursts of wrath, not in the Spirit. I mean, it's not hard to figure it out because the Bible tells us. It tells us the answer, amen? But it also tells us how to get into the Spirit, amen? Lord, glory to God. And that's what we're going to do. Praise God. But we are going to look at, we're going to be reminded of some things here today. It seemed fitting to do that. Glory to God. Matthew 6:24. So I believe you'll be encouraged. Now, it's like I said last night, if you hear me correcting things in the pulpit, that does not necessarily make it your job to go out and correct it and everybody else. This is a mistake that people make so often, Christians make, and we have to be careful of that. Just because you hear something bold in the pulpit doesn't mean that you have to go out and be bold that same way. It doesn't mean that you go out and shout. I'm not saying you don't go out and shout. I'm saying that you need to learn how to be led by the Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. There is a difference between what's going on in here and what's going on out there. What's going on out there, most people don't know what's going on here. They don't understand this. People out there, they don't understand our faith. That's why we have to use our faith in a way that draws people in and not pushes them away. Amen. But how do we do that? By going and correcting all the other wrong Christians? Not at all. It's not my job to correct God's sheep, God's people out there. It's not my job to go out and correct other leaders. My job is to correct things in this house, praise the Lord, keep things straight in this house, and your job is to follow that, is to learn that, amen? And then to go out and act differently. See, we always change it first when we act differently. When we endeavor, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine last night via text message, and we were just going back, and I said, I'll just tell you what, after all this, one of the things that I've learned is I got to change me. I got to work on me. There's this areas I got to work on here. In fact, I've been using this. I'm looking forward to the Faith Fix coming out this week because I kind of wrote it based on that. But I'm just telling you, I've been using this time period, the slowdown and everything. I've been using it as an opportunity to just evaluate life. What am I doing? Am I doing things that are effective? Am I doing things right? Is there things I could change? Is there things I don't need? Are there things that are weighing me down that don't need to be weighing me down? See, a lot of people are just complaining about it. Instead of complaining about it, why don't you get before the Lord and just find out what he wants you to do with it? You know, how much better would the church look instead of fighting back and forth and making the world look like we're a bunch of fools anyways? You know, because the people out there that don't go to churches, and even a lot of them that do, they don't believe this is important. When you can take and put a liquor store on the list of businesses that should be open, when every liquor store, and let me just say, every liquor store in the country should be shut down forever. Glory to God. And just in case you didn't know. Because liquor is evil. It's evil. But when that is a necessity, or when that is considered essential, and the church of God is considering, a lot of people think, well, it's optional. It's optional. You know, we could give it. That's the flavor of what's happening. See, and I'm not saying that if, you know, somebody stayed home and watched it on live stream, that's not what I'm saying. But we're, you know, if there's zero people here, there's at least going to be a couple, because we're going to be here preaching a word and broadcasting it to the world. I'm not opposed to that's how we might have to do it in the future. If that comes, that comes. And I'm not necessarily against that. It's good to congregate together. Amen. But in times of like this, it's also good sometimes to take a break. We have to determine that. But what I'm saying is when, you know, we have to understand that there's got to be balance in things. Amen. For God's sake, Jesus didn't go around preaching in churches. I'm not saying we shouldn't have churches, but he didn't. No, he was preaching out in the hills. He was preaching out in the parks. He was preaching out in the, yeah. You know, all these great, wonderful sermons we have of Jesus, they were preaching outdoor, like, gatherings. When he fed the people, he didn't feed them in a stadium or in a church. He fed them out there. So don't tell me it has to be, you know, listen, we can't put such rules on things. You know, praise God. People have pulled things out of the Old Testament. I've seen this. People pull things out of the Old Testament, trying to use it as listen. We need to just focus on what God wants to do, and God wants to create an environment of love and peace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that's what we need to do. Praise the Lord. And so we also need to stray away from, why do I say that to you? Maybe you don't have anything to do with that stuff, but you can stray away from that kind of stuff. You can determine not to be part of that or partake in those things. Amen. Matthew 6:24. Now, we read this all the time, and we read it for various reasons, but I think we'll see something different and good in it today, amen? Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus starts off by saying, you cannot serve two masters. And of course, then he takes it to money, and that's what mammon is. Praise the Lord. But the focus of this is the idea that you cannot serve two masters. That wherever your loyalty, or wherever you give your attention to, or wherever you magnify in your life, the other things will become less. Amen? One of the reasons that so many relationships fail is because in the beginning, the couples will magnify that relationship. And then as time passes on, they start magnifying other things and pulling back away. And then when they do that, the weaknesses are found in that relationship. Praise the Lord. If you want something to last, you need to magnify it continually. But see, a lot of people, this is why we teach things like, you know, why do we teach about, you know, try to teach our kids to marry right, or do things in the right order? Because when you do things in the wrong order, you can't hear from God. And when you can't hear from God, you're missing what he's doing, what he's saying, what he's trying to warn you from. And when you're missing all of that, then trouble's coming and you don't even know it. When the trouble comes, you say, God, get me out of this. And he says, I tried to, but you didn't listen to me. I tried to stop it ahead of time. The word of God is the key. It's the preventative medicine, amen? This is the thing that we should be putting in us first. Glory to God, the time is going quick. Praise the Lord. I think the earlier you start, the faster it goes. Amen. But no one can serve two masters. We can't be, you're just not going to be able to. So with faith, it's the same way. If you have faith in bad things, then you can't have faith in good things. Amen. Praise God. verse 26, look at the birds of the air. Now, I thought this was interesting. Of course, I like to dig into the scriptures, you know. And the word look means to observe fixedly. To observe fixedly. To watch them. You know, I mean, that's literally to, what does it mean to observe fixedly? I remember this when I was in art school and I was learning how to draw. And I thought I was a pretty good artist. And then I learned that I wasn't. I had a lot of work to do. And what happened was, is I would draw these pictures. And I would draw like wildlife pictures out of like hunting magazines and stuff like that. And for the most part, people loved them. And then I took it to a person who is an actual good artist. And he started critiquing it and started pointing out why it wasn't good. And he didn't do it mean. He just did it the way it needed to be done. But it humbled me and it put me in a place that I needed to be put in, thinking that I wasn't the best artist there was anymore. Amen. And I started being able to see things in myself. I said, because I could look at his critique and not get offended about it, I got to be able to look into my own life and start being able to critique myself correctly. Amen. And so this is important for us to understand. But one of the things that he said is he said most real wildlife artists, if they paint a duck, for example, he says they have done so much study, they already know how many feathers are on a duck's back. They don't just draw a duck. They don't just paint a duck. And that's what we were looking at. I think it was a duck that I had drawn. And that really opened my eyes to something. But it opens my eyes here, too, as I think of this. Look at the bird. Observe fixedly. See, a person who really cares about the detail, that cares about the essence of it, they will look fixedly, observe fixedly. They'll keep their gaze upon it. They'll understand it. They'll see. You know, if you observe something fixedly, you start to see how it works. Amen? I mentioned the other day how my wife and I, the other day, we were going through stuff in our house and we pulled out some love letters that I had written to her while she was my waitress way back in the day when I was still trying to woo her, praise the Lord. And one of the things that we noticed in those letters is that the things I was observing, you know, and I wasn't being raunchy or disgusting or anything like that, at least not openly, praise the Lord. But I was observing her, and I learned the way, like certain movements, to the point where even today, if I saw her walking from a distance and couldn't make out any details, but I saw her walking, I could know it's my wife just by the way she walks, because I've observed her fixedly, amen? And so Jesus tells us to do the same thing with the birds when it comes to a situation where you don't know what's going on in life. What are you going to do with yourself? What are you going to do with the situation? What are we going to do with this virus? What are we going to do with, our jobs maybe folding up or closing? All these things, right? All these things are very real things. Glory to God. What are we going to do? We're going to observe the birds fixedly. We're going to put our gaze on them. We're going to learn how they go and how they do. And that's what we're going to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, or gather into birds, yet your heavenly Father feeds them, are you not of more value than they? This is our first place, this is our first step of faith right here, or a first step of faith, where we can look at this and we say, if we're more value than they, and Jesus just pointed them out to us, that God would take care of them, what does that mean for us? So what do? When we start getting worried, we start pointing our attention on the things that God told us to point our attention. We start looking at the birds. Amen. We start looking at the birds, how they're always fed. I got a bird feeder in my yard. I've talked about this before. I only fill it once in a while. When I fill it, birds are there. When I don't, they're not. But they're not troubled. They go to the next bird feeder and they find someone else who does. Isn't it amazing that Jesus told us, this is before the bird feed industry, amen, but Jesus told us to watch the birds and think about the type of industry that's been feeding birds today. It's huge. People, like the birds have so much food, they're fat. And you go to a city and you see these pigeons and stuff, they're enormous and they're fat. They don't even fly anymore because they walk around on the ground picking up food. They couldn't get lift if they tried. Why is that? Because people are feeding them and they're hanging out in the parks. They'll get right up next to you. They know. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. So watch the birds. Verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? And this is a question that we need to ask ourselves, and I ask myself all the time when I'm tempted to worry. What's the worry going to do for me? What's it going to change? Because I could start getting nervous in the service, but what's it going to change? What's it going to do to me? How is this going to affect my life if I'm in worry? Jesus told us that worry does us no good, but not worrying us will do us all the good. And so if you know that worrying will do you no good, then you have to look at worry and say, man, I'm sorry, but I ain't got time for you today. Because I got to get my attention on faith. Yeah. I got to get my attention on the thing that helps me, because worry don't help me and you don't help. And I'm sorry, you know, worry, you're a nice guy and everything, but you can't stay here. You got to go. And of course, I'm making light of it. I know that worry is going to haunt you and try to get on you. But that's why we need to redirect us to faith. Amen. And that's what we're going to do, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He loves us. That's why he helps us. Amen. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. Now consider. Here's another word that I decided to look up. Consider means to learn thoroughly. So I started considering this as I was reading this. I was like, well, you know, I want to be a good student. I better learn thoroughly. And so I started reading a little bit about lilies. I didn't learn thoroughly, but I learned enough to get me excited. One of the things about lilies, have you ever seen a tiger lily? These are a really interesting thing. You see them all over the place here. They're orange and they have the real long, you know, thing. Some people hate them. I love them. I always have. But they're a really interesting thing. And one of the things about lilies is they just keep going and going and going. They look like they would be, you know, when you look at the flower of a lily, you think that it would be real, real picky and stuff like that. But they're actually really not. They grow fairly easily wherever they go. Amen. And they provide food and they provide all kinds of things. Amen. And so we see this. We consider these things. He says, look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Does it look like that lily really tried to grow there? I mean, they'll grow in craziest places. It just looks like, well, there was a good place. We'll stop there. Amen. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, think about that. God designed flowers to be beautiful for a minute, and then they die. There are some flowers that bloom once every like decade or something like that, and people watch it, and it's only bloomed for like a couple days, or sometimes they even think less than that. And here it is. God has designed that to teach us something, hasn't he? He's designed it that to teach us. Like, listen, those things are so beautiful and they don't matter, but you're more valuable. Amen? Praise the Lord. He says, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? What shall we wipe with? Praise the Lord. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Praise the Lord. I love that it says all these things shall be added to you. You don't even do anything. He said they'll just come to you. Praise the Lord. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And so Jesus is telling us, of course, he's telling us to stay in faith. Praise the Lord. You serve what you yield to when the heat is turned up. That's just the way you can look at it. That's what you serve. What do you yield to when the pressure comes on you? That's what you're serving. And so you've been here long enough to just know this. If you can think first, say, okay, this is what I'm serving because this is what I'm yielding to. In other words, if fear comes on you because you don't know how you're going to pay your bills, what is that? You're yielding to that. That became your master. God said, yield to the master that provides. That's essentially what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, even when things are coming against you, even when it looks really bad, even when it is really bad, it doesn't have to just look really bad. It can feel really bad. That doesn't change God. And that doesn't change that he'll come through for you. That doesn't change that he'll get you out of it. And you know what else? Praise the Lord. It doesn't change the fact that worry still does you nothing. Nothing. There is nothing. Like, think of one thing. Now, we've all worried. Is anyone in here not worried ever? Got some little ones. Yeah, there's one back there. I believe it. Praise the Lord. I'm sure he has never worried. But for the rest of us unfaithful people, no, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. But the rest of us, there's been worry at some point that has come on our lives. What have we gained on it? Now, I can't say this. You may not have worried, but you've seen somebody who's worried, right? Yeah. Did anything beneficial come out of it? No, nothing. See, out of the mouth of babes, praise the Lord. Like even the young people get it, praise the Lord. Nothing comes out of worry. Nothing beneficial. It won't build you up. It won't help you. It won't get you through. Listen, we can be scared. Like, if you act in fear, then trouble gets worse. Amen? Why does this? The government has even said, they said, I don't know why there's such a freak out. I can tell you why there is. About things like toilet paper, because there's more than enough. It's just when people freak out and they go to the store and say, I got it. What is that? That's worry. And what does worry do? It causes a shortage, which causes everybody else to worry. And then they go out and do the same thing. And then what is it? More shortage. Listen, there's no shortage of anything. We have everything we need right here in this, in these borders of this country. Glory to God. Everything we need, we can produce right here. We don't have to go anywhere else. There are countries that rely on other countries for stuff. Everything we need, we can get right here. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? I mean, if you have any doubt as to whether or not there's food, go out to California and drive through Bakersfield. I'm just going to tell you. When you go to the store and you see a bag of almonds, you think, man, that's a lot of almonds in that bag. But I'm going to tell you, when you drive through Bakersfield and you see mile after mile, unending mile of almond trees, perfect rolls, producing almonds, there's not going to be a shortage of almonds. And that's just one thing. You go through the hills by Murrieta and Temecula where we go and you see orange tree after orange tree and after orange tree, lemon tree and lemon tree after lemon tree. You see whole mountains covered with avocado trees. Yeah. Listen, there's food. We're going to have the things that we need. Praise the Lord. God has created this country. He has brought this country together to be a shining example of what he wants to do. Praise the Lord. We have to trust it. We have to believe it. Jesus was effective for one reason, and that's because he didn't worry. He stayed in faith. That is the only reason. People don't understand this. He was not effective because he was God. The only reason Jesus was effective is because he stayed in faith. The only reason. There is no other reason. People say, well, the works, that's why Jesus said, the works I do, you'll do, but greater works. How could he say that? Because he knew that it wasn't based on him being God. It was based on him being God. Person in faith, a man who lived according to faith, by the principles of faith. He didn't let go of faith. He didn't loosen faith. He didn't relax his faith. He stayed on faith and he didn't let it go. This is why he rose up. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. My resolve is more, kid. I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. I'm gonna shout louder. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But it's just examples. Now, listen, this is a very interactive service today as far as me interacting with people. Don't be offended by it. Like, I don't think anyone that I've talked to here today. I've talked to you all, but specifically. It's all good. Praise the Lord. Jesus certainly had crying babies around when he was preaching. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. So we're good. Amen. God has given us faith as a place, a way to stand, a way that we could be sure to stand. He said, you know what the faith is? Faith separates us from every outside thing. Because the thing is that no matter what's going on, God put faith on the inside of us. He said, this is where faith is contained. And I give you the Holy Spirit to ensure that that faith will be stirred and that faith will be directed and that faith will be right. Glory to God, and it will be strong. Actually, I believe the Holy Spirit protects our faith. Glory to God. I think that spirit on the inside of us protects us. Right now, I don't have any scripture, but I believe that. You cannot believe it. It's fine. I can't point to scripture. But my point is that God put it on the inside of us, that no matter what is going on in the world, it does not matter. We have all we need right here within us. And so if we can stay in that place of faith, we will always stay in the place of victory. Amen? You will be just as effective if you don't worry. Faith works based on what you believe to be true. Faith's works are what you do because that is what you've believed to be true. Let me say that again. Faith works based on what you believe to be true. Faith's works are what you do because that is what you've believed to be true. So how you act is based out of what you've already believed. And so if there's a time, now this is a great thing about faith and what we learn about the Bible and God, is that if there's a time where we've stepped out of faith and all of a sudden we've acted wrong, that isn't a time to cry and get all mad at ourselves. That's a time to say, oh, this is what I got to fix. This is what I got to strengthen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, one of the worst things to have is an electrical problem when you're doing wiring, like something not turn on. Because sometimes you'll get things. We had this happen in our last house when I was in our house in Jamestown when I was learning how to wire, praise the Lord. And I did all kinds of wiring in the house. And then you go to finally turn it all on, and then something didn't work. Or you finally get it working, and then a couple months down the road, something stops working. And you can't access any of that stuff. It's hidden in the walls and in the ceilings. It's like, I don't even know where this is. And so you got to start tracing it. And that's not a fun thing to do. I think most mechanics, if they've dealt with electrical issues in vehicles, it's the same thing. Sometimes you just can't ever figure it out, you know. Praise the Lord. How did I get on that? Praise the Lord. It's all good. Praise the Lord. But we understand. I think we understand where I'm going. Anyways, in general, even if it wasn't that point, praise the Lord, I got off on that. But Romans 4:16, go ahead and turn with me there. Romans 4:16. And I'll say this, there very well could be people in this time period that are tuning into these live streams. And the thing that I want them to get, the thing that I want them to understand is that we don't do this just because, and the Christians, this has got to be sobering for us too, so I'm not just speaking to them. We don't do this just because we're brainwashed into thinking that there's a God. There is an actual power and ability that God has given us. But we have to determine we're going to walk in it. And if we don't determine we're going to walk in it, other people aren't going to know it. But I'm just telling you right now, me and my family, we're walking in it. Praise the Lord. That doesn't mean everything in life is always going to be perfect. But it always ends up just right because we follow the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. It is of faith that it might be according to grace. The grace is God's favor, God's ability in us, the things that we couldn't obtain, God did it. So by our faith, according to his grace, the two things work together. Grace does not work separately from faith. Amen? Faith doesn't work separately from grace. So that the promise might be what? Sure to all seed. Not only to those who are of the law, but those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. The faith of Abraham makes us spiritually Jews like the Jews were. Okay, the flesh of Abraham were the Israelites. Amen? They're still important to God. It's still important to God. He still holds their covenant. He still, you know, he still holds his promises true with them. You know, there'll be a time where the many will come back to them. Actually, many are now, but there'll be a time when many more will. But we are also in that same group because we are of faith. Amen? And that's what this is telling us. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. This has, for a long time, been one of my favorite scriptures. I just, when I hear that and I think about that, oh man, it stirs me. He calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Wow, I don't know. It just fires me up. Praise the Lord. That's an awesome God. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. That's talking about Abraham. Everything was against his hope. Everything was telling him he should have no good expectation. That's what it means, contrary to hope. But he said, in hope he believed. In his expectation of God, he stayed true to that. He believed it. He said, my God's going to come through. My God will always do what he said he would do. Abraham knew his God. So contrary to the things that were happening in his life, even though he was old, even though there's no way he could possibly father a child, much less have nations come out of him, even though he believed him and he saw it, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. But see, if Abraham had not believed God, he would have never fathered many nations. He would have never fathered that child. He wouldn't have been the one. So that prophecy, that the Lord, the thing the Lord spoke to him, would not have come to pass unless he had believed it. Praise the Lord. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, his own circumstance. He didn't consider any of it. Right? Already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. I want to stop right there. Strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. How do you get strengthened? How do you build faith to get strength? How do you get strength when you need strength? You do it through faith. And how do you do that? By giving glory to God. When you're in the midst of your trial, instead of looking at your neighbor and saying, I don't know what we're going to do. You look at God and say, I know what you're going to do. I know who you are. I know you always come through for me. Praise you, Lord. And that's why we teach this stuff. That's why we teach people to start doing it. That's why we got to turn it around. But if you don't do those things, you're not going to get the strength of faith. It's not going to come to you. Amen? Praise the Lord. And being fully convinced that what God had promised, God was also able to perform. And therefore, that was accounted to him as righteousness. Now it is not written. Look at this. This is important. Now it is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. In other words, it was not, God didn't have some man write all this stuff down just because of Abraham's sake. Look what he's saying here. He says it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who what? Believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Praise God. Hallelujah. In us who believe. If we believe that we make it, we make it. If we believe we don't, we won't. It's as simple as that. And so if you feel that you're going to be overcome, and you allow that feeling that you're going to be overcome to become belief that you're going to be overcome, I'm just going to tell you, I can't pray you out of it. Praise the Lord. I have been preaching about faith and what we are to show to the world and having our focus right. I preached those things before we knew all about this virus, but I preached them by the Spirit. I tell you all the time that I seek God for what, and I say all the time too, that you may not need it today, but you're going to need it someday. If you go back and start looking at some of the last sermons over the past 6 months, the past year, I'm going to guarantee you there's all the nuggets that you need, praise the Lord, to maintain everything that you need to maintain. The things that have been put in you in this pulpit have prepared you for such a time as this. Folks, it's our time to shine. This is not the time where we lay down and say, oh, what are we going to do? This is a time where we stand up. This is why being connected to a local church is imperative. Because God knows what you need where you're at. And if you are not at the right place at the right time, you won't hear the right thing for when you need it. This is our answer. These are our answers. Our answers are not reliant in what someone else is going to do. Our answers rely on what we are going to do with what we've heard. What are you going to do? What are you going to choose? The Lord says, I give you the option this day. Choose life or death. Blessing and curse. The choice is yours. We choose it by what we decide to do. Do we grab onto it? Do we continue on? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to pull up John 16:13 and remind you of this. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will what? Tell you things to come. This is why we are a Holy Ghost church. This is why we teach people about following the Holy Ghost, being praying in the Holy Ghost, all these things. How do we get into the things of God? By doing the very thing. Like, people will reject it, and that's fine. They just reject the help of God, too. See, a lot of people, what they want to do is they want to go live their life and do whatever they want to do and then just be able to pray to God and have him change something when they want it changed. That's the wrong way of thinking. And that's why people that act like that, they never get things changed. The correct way to do is get on fire for God, live for God, find out what God's plan is for you, seek him, and he will show you what to do in every step of the way. And as you go, sometimes you won't know what to do, but you'll just go in a direction, and you just trust God. That's exactly what I've done. That's exactly what I've been doing. I'm going to tell you, I have never, in all my 6 years of pastoring a church, I have not had one situation that was as difficult as the past week's was. Not one. Now, one time where I had so much trying to rob this group and everything else, the body of Christ. But praise the Lord. I knew what to do, and that's what I did. And I'm not saying that, I don't want you to think that I'm sitting at home like some saint, you know, like up on my throne, just like me and God having this conversation. I go through the same fears. I go through the same obstacles. I go through the same thoughts and the same condemnation and the same, all those things that you go through, I go through. And a lot of times they're magnified. I go through the same depressions. I have to battle the same depressions that try to get on me, praise the Lord. But they don't stay. They can't stay. They're not going to win. None of it's going to win because I'm going to stay with God. Why? Because it's just like worrying. What other choice do I got? I can sit around and worry about it, but I know there's no answer in that. I have been a good worrier. I'm just telling you the truth. But I've never found the answer there. But you know what's funny about God? Every time I turn to Him, He tells me. Every time I go to my Lord, He shows me what I'm to do. Every time I give Him that time, I've literally sat down this week several times. I said, all right, Lord, what do you want me to tell your people? Literally say those words in my chair. If you had a bug in my room, you could hear that. Praise the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to give your people? Praise the Lord. What do you have for them today? Praise God. Hallelujah. So it's not surprising. Let's turn to, I can do this real quick. I know I can. 1 Peter 4, because there's only four scriptures left, two different sections. 1 Peter 4. First Peter 4, verse 12. Read 12 and 13. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Boy, we could just camp out on that, couldn't we, all day? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Don't think it's strange. When something happens, don't think it's strange. Yeah. Just be like, okay, here it is. Now let's deal with it. I'm not saying you gotta love it. The Bible doesn't ever say love the trial. Right. Not that I've found. It says count it all joy, but it didn't say love it. Right. It didn't say embrace the trial as though it's like your best friend or something like that. Oh, I'm so happy. It's like my birthday. Trial came. Hallelujah. What did you bring me today? No, it's not. It doesn't tell us to be dumb. It tells us to look at the trial and not be surprised by it. Okay, it's here. The devil showed up. All right, the devil, okay, you haven't surprised me, devil. Good, yeah, I didn't know what you were bringing, but guess what? I knew you were coming. Why? Because Jesus told me. The Bible tells us all over the place that the devil's coming. He's coming. And since this this pandemic is not from God, then we know it's got to be from one other place. Right? It's not from God. God is not trying to make people sick. If you believe that falsehood, then you won't believe in who the real culprit is. And then you won't know how to fight them, and you won't be in faith and all those things. And that's why, like, a big portion of the church lives the way it does. Because they're like, oh, this must be God. This must be God. How can you be in faith? God's trying to destroy you. If you think God's trying to wipe you, how are you ever going to be in faith? You're not going to. And if you're never going to be in faith, you're never going to see the end of the trial, or you're never going to see the outcome that you desire. Praise the Lord. People are praying out of a lack of faith, and they're like, God, why aren't you answering? Why aren't you answering? He's like, because you're talking stupid. You're saying stupid things. Read my word. Get in. Find out what I have to say. Yeah. Get hooked up to a church. Find out what I have to say to you. Yeah. Do you know every person is called to be connected somewhere? Yeah. Why? Because God is going to speak to them through that. You know one thing I've learned? There are different pastors in the family churches even. They're being led differently. Yeah. Glory to God. Pastor Mike is a good friend of mine up there in South Dayton and out there in Allegheny. Doing something totally different than we are. Him and I are not arguing against each other. We're supporting one another. You know what the thing we know is? He's being led and I'm being led. Both of us, when we were led, the peace came and the trial lifted. And you know what we looked at? We looked at it and said, listen, it doesn't matter if God, just because it's different doesn't mean it's not God. God wants you to follow Him. He doesn't care what, He doesn't care. Like, do you think it really matters to God how He has you do it as long as you just do what He says? No, He doesn't care. He knows that His way is best. We just got to know that same thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. But what? Do what? Verse 13. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Praise the Lord. And we're going to see the answer to this when His glory is revealed. Let's turn to Romans 8 real quick. This is where we're going to close. getting our answers. Amen. Romans 8:18. When his glory is revealed, remember, we've got to rejoice because his glory is going to be revealed. When's it going to be revealed? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Sounds like the same thing, right? For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. And this is what I've been trying to say for a long time. Creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the glory to be revealed in us. Because when the church shines God's glory, then the world is going to come to know. That's when there'll be the outpouring and the revival. That's when people will flock into the churches, is when the glory is revealed in the church. Amen? Creation's eagerly waiting for us to be what we're supposed to be. They don't even know it yet. They don't even know. They're searching for something. Have you noticed that? All people out there are seeking for answers. Every single one of them, and they could have got answers right here this morning if they just knew to come. If they just knew to show up. We couldn't fit all the people in here. In just this town alone, we couldn't even begin to fit all the people and speak to them. But we have the answers for every single man, woman, and child, don't we? Why? Because God gave them to us thousands of years ago. Praise the Lord. And he's still speaking them today. And we just believe that God is going to go. So what we're going to do, this is our time to shine. We're going to stand in faith. We're not going to be moved left or right. We're going to go with the flow. We're going to seek God. Lord, what do you have for me today? If you have some kind of mountain standing before you, remember Jesus said that you can move the mountains if you speak to it and you believe. So you're going to look at it. You're going to say it's going to move. Praise the Lord. And you're going to stand there in faith. You're going to encourage your brothers and sisters in the faith. You're going to find, make sure everybody, we all need to make sure that everybody else is okay. Praise the Lord. If there's somebody that we know lives alone, check on them. Praise the Lord. If you know your neighbors lives alone, check on them. Do things that are Christ-like, for God's sakes. This is what we're here to do. And let's do it in faith. It doesn't mean that we go out and be foolish. No. Follow protocol when the protocol says it's keeping us safe. Amen. Glory to God until we, amen. Praise the Lord. And if you don't do it for your conscience, at least do it for others. Because that's what love would do. It's that easy, right? That simple. We're not laxing on the faith. We're not laxing on the word. We're not giving up what God said. We're standing strong on it. Praise the Lord. And we're going to continue being the church.